Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's the quiet before the storm today in Washington. Oral arguments are expected to begin next week in President Trump's impeachment trial. And today we learned that star lawyer Alan Dershowitz is on the president's legal team and will argue the case against impeachment on the Senate floor.
Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. We've got Kimberly Atkins. She is Washington reporter for WBUR. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi there.
And Domenico Montanaro, NPR senior political editor and correspondent. Domenico, hello to you.
Good to be with you.
And let's start with you, Domenico. Weigh in on that news that Donald Trump's impeachment defense team is getting a boost because he's adding Ken Starr, who led the investigation into Bill Clinton in the 1990s, which led to Clinton's impeachment, and the Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz.
Pair of sort of celebrity attorneys in some respects, sort of obviously the irony of having Ken Starr on the team being someone who prosecuted essentially a president now to make the case in some ways for President Trump should be really notable and interesting. He spent a lot of time on Fox News over the last few years. He didn't always have great things to say about President Trump or the facts as they relate to this case. So it'll be really interesting to see what people wind up pulling out from what Ken Starr has said previously about this. Alan Dershowitz has kind of hinted at the fact that he is lobbying at least or trying to be part of this team. So we'll see how this winds up manifesting before the senators and if they have any, you know, hard questions for having them on the team.
Yeah, and they are about to get very busy in the next couple of days. A lot of people are. Kimberly, walk us through what we should expect to see over the next 48, 72 hours as the impeachment trial gets underway.
Yes. Well, what we will see on Tuesday is for really the formal arguments to begin. Some of the preliminary things happened yesterday with the Chief Justice being sworn in and 99 of 100 senators being sworn in. The final one will happen sometime before Tuesday. And Tuesday at 1 p.m. is when the proceedings will begin. We will see the impeachment managers who were chosen by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi begin to make the case for impeachment, and the president's team, which now includes the new lawyers you talked about, begin defending him.
I want to ask you all about some of the emerging details that we're learning. Lev Parnas, the indicted associate of Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani, has been making a lot of news this week. He claimed that Trump and even Attorney General William Barr knew about the effort to pressure Ukraine to announce investigations of Joe Biden. And yesterday, even though there is photo and video evidence, Trump denied knowing him.
I don't know him at all, don't know what he's about, don't know where he comes from, know nothing about him. I can only tell you this thing is a big hoax. It's a big hoax.
Kimberly, I mean, the Parnas revelations really show that there's so much the senators don't know.
Yes, and it goes both ways, right? So on the one hand, it bolsters the argument of Pelosi and Democrats that say, look, there is evidence here that was being withheld during the House investigation and that is continuing to come out. So the speaker was right to wait, to not immediately transfer these articles of impeachment, and that it puts pressure on senators to want to get these documents, to want to hear from witnesses. We still are not sure whether or not we'll hear from them. It's up to the senators to decide along the way. But on the other hand, some have pushed back, like Senator Susan Collins have pushed back, suggesting that the investigation is incomplete and the Democrats are rushing this.
Yeah, Domenico, Republican Senator Ted Cruz has mentioned witness reciprocity. If Democrats call John Bolton, Republicans should call Hunter Biden. Do you think that we will see Hunter Biden testify?
No, I don't. But I think that – and what Democrats argue with that is that that's a straw man because he's not related to the actual charges at hand against President Trump. You know, he may be part of the debate, part of the dialogue, part of issue that was going on in Ukraine, obviously. But they feel to this heart of this matter, this is – he's not a fact witness to President Trump's withholding of aid. That's a political – move. What Democrats are saying is you've got all these documents, all these people who do know information, who either have come forward, have not come forward, but who Mitch McConnell in the Republican-run Senate are not allowing to come forward.
So maybe not Hunter Biden, but what about somebody else?
You know, I don't know who Republicans would call or even have on board as far as this reciprocity that Ted Cruz talks about to try to bring on board who might satisfy them to bring forward the kinds of witnesses that Democrats want. Because frankly, in this process, when the talk has been of the substance of what's happened here, that's been on the Democrat side. When they've talked about process, which was controlled by Democrats in the House, that's where Republicans were able to score some political points. But now they control the process and the substance isn't very much on their side.
I mean, can we talk about something else, though? I mean, Kimberly, lawmakers on both sides of the aisles this week said they felt the weight of history as Chief Justice John Roberts swore them in yesterday. But isn't this talk of being impartial kind of just talk? I mean, we know as it goes into the Senate that folks have already said where they weigh on this.
Right. You know, yes and no. I mean, there have been a lot of comparisons about this is a trial and juries should be impartial. It's a political process. It's not a judicial process. It is why the framers gave the Senate this power to remove the president. They were fully aware that there would be politics. People would bring their own political views to this. But at the same time, they've taken an oath to do impartial justice, to weigh in this impartially. That means listening to witnesses. That means calling witnesses if they would like to see them. And so in that sense, it has to be this idea has to be embraced that this is supposed to be a serious exercise. It's removing a president from office. You have the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court there. So the seriousness is expected to be upon the shoulders of all 100 of these senators. But don't expect them to leave politics at the door.
Domenico, I want to go back to Lev Parnas because this was a pretty big story all week long. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said today to the conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt that he was unaware that the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, was being surveilled as a part of this shadow campaign to pressure Ukraine into digging up dirt on Joe Biden. Here is Mike Pompeo.
Yeah, I'd never heard about this at all, Hugh.
Okay. Now,
until the story broke, I had best of my recollection, I'd never heard of this at all.
And after this interview, Pompeo later said that the administration would look into it. But Domenico, do you think that any of these Parnas revelations will go anywhere and have any sort of lasting impact?
Well, I mean, it depends on in the history books or if we're talking about in the next 2 weeks, because in the next 2 weeks, probably not. But in the history books, absolutely, because, you know, it's another fact witness. And yes, he certainly has his own motivations. But as Nancy Pelosi said yesterday, when somebody comes forward who has firsthand information, you're supposed to check out that information. You're supposed to try to verify. You're supposed to try to do an investigation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it should be noted that when Chief Justice John Roberts read the oath to the Senate, he said that part of what it includes is that they will vow to do, quote, impartial justice. And, you know, you have Mitch McConnell already coming out and saying that he's not an impartial juror. And sure, we know that these folks have biases one way or the other, but they're supposed to try, put on a good show, and, you know, do their best intellectual honesty, you know, to look into the matter and see if there's anything to it. And instead, you know, we wind up in a political fight with Republicans dug in, all in on President Trump's mm-hmm. side.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about 2020 now. There was a Democratic debate in Iowa this week and a public fight between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders over whether a woman could win in 2020. Domenico, what did we learn about the state of the race this week?
Well, the state of the race is kind of what it's been in some respects. It's in flux. You have a clear top tier of four candidates, and you have a clear divide among this progressive wing and this more moderate wing in the party, although I hesitate to call it moderate, given that, you know, the public option 10 years ago was seen as something that was so odious that Republicans could never get on board. Now it's the moderate play when it comes to health care. But you know, you've still got this Buttigieg and Biden thing against Warren and Sanders, and with a little bit of overlap when it came to this kerfuffle about whether a woman could or couldn't win and whether what was said or wasn't said and this handshake after the debate and whether they actually took offense to that. It looked like Elizabeth Warren didn't like that. She felt that Bernie Sanders lied and didn't say what she said he'd said. Now, we don't know what the actual truth was. None of us were in the room there.
Right.
We know Senator Sanders says a woman can win, and that's what it is. And frankly, in our polling, when you look at the polling, the characteristic that gets the highest favorability ratings for what someone would want to vote for is a woman.
Kimberly, less than a minute here. Michael Bloomberg, what about him? He got two endorsements this week from members of Congress. Stephanie Murphy from Orlando, Max Rose from New York. He was not on the debate stage in Iowa. Did he still have a good week?
As long as he has a lot of money, he's still not one to be ruled out. And he's planning on the strategy that looks at Super Tuesday, focuses there. And so I don't think we have seen the last of Mike Bloomberg, and we'll definitely see a lot more of him in the months ahead.
He has spent a lot of his money, but he still has a lot. Kimberly Atkins, Washington reporter for WBUR, Domenico Montanaro at NPR. Thanks to you both.
Thanks. You're welcome. To be with you.